Welcome to Let's Talk Land, a weekly land education talk show devoted to learning about land and farms, buying and selling, ownership, especially for real estate agents and realtors. Learn from the experts, free land education. Hi, my name's Lou Jewell. I'm an accredited land consultant, broker, owner of United Country Real Estate, Land Pro, along with my co-host Teresa, buying and selling homes, land or farms in Western Piedmont, North Carolina, or Southern Virginia. Just give us a shout. We'll help you out. Our office is at 3349 Cook School Road in Pilot Mountain, North Carolina, Highway 52, exit 136 across from Foothills Hardware and Building Supply. We also share office space with Freedom Designs and Marketing for all your graphic needs. Our company website is www.mylandpro.com. Just a program note, Dr. Barbie's Ask the Doctor show will now follow this show and will air at 10 a.m. completing the show. Our guest today is Josh Benash. He's the Chief Operation Officer for Bid Wrangler. Welcome, Josh.
Thanks, Lou. It's good to be here.
Yeah. Where are you located?
I am in Harrisonburg, Virginia.
Harrisonburg. There you go. Beautiful country there.
It is.
You're right there, what, the Shenandoah Mountains and the Blue Ridge, kind of all in that area?
That's right. We're right on Route 81. With the Blue Ridge on the east and the Alleghenies on the west. So wow. It's a nice place to live.
Yeah, I sold some land. The first time I got my Virginia real estate license, I got a listing up there on the Shenandoah River. It was over 100 acres, and it was one of those hilltops with the 360s of the river and the mountains, an unbelievable piece of property. Didn't take long to sell it, and but I love coming up there. It's about a little over five-hour drive one way. So we do reach out for unique properties. We're experts in what we do. Teresa, why don't you introduce Josh here?
Josh, I understand that you're formally trained as a classical pianist and educator, that you have work experience in recitals with Grammy Award-winning singers and are servicing the college faculty and developing programs to administer $3.2 billion of federal disaster relief. I understand that you're passionate about both art and teaching, and that you have started this mobile bidding platform for auctioneers.
That's right.
That's a lot. And it's very diversified.
It's maybe not the path that you would always assume that someone takes, to be working with running a technology company, and one that's obviously directly connected with the auction industry. But I'm actually thankful for having those experiences before, because I think that they really impacted a lot of the way that I look at things and that we look at our products. I think it's interesting that actually a lot of people in our company, in different roles from customer support to lead developer, a lot of us actually have backgrounds that range from pretty strong interest to maybe even some university training in a lot of areas of the arts. Tim, one of our co-founders, actually started off studying music in college for a little bit. He didn't stay doing that nearly as long as I did, but he started off there. A web designer, studied fine art. I'm actually sitting in an art studio right now that's just down the street that our CPO rent in order to do art. And I think that the way it impacts what we do is that we really value having experience for both the auction company and the bidder that's elegant, right? It looks good, and that it's something that people enjoy using. We want that experience to be something that we can be proud of, and that makes your customers want to bid in your auction. And I think that kind of some of those experiences really do impact the way we think about building our product and the experience that we want our customers to have.
All right. Well, I can relate to that a little bit, because I'm from a artistic background myself, and I think any time that you have a background like that, it does make you look at things from many different perspectives and angles, and we do live in a very visual world. I have done some, I have been in auctions before, like I have been at auctions and bid against myself, and I have done online auctions, And I'm looking at this, and it's like this is done on a smartphone. Everything's going to smartphones. So can you tell me just a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So we hold kind of a unique place in the industry. And I think one of the reasons why is because we certainly didn't start the idea of online auctions, right? This is something that's been around since before we started. We started in 2014. Really first started having customers in 2015. The idea of an internet auction has been around for a while. But what we had the privilege of kind of being a part of is that a lot of those companies that had come in and built ways to do auctions, well, they had started with the desktop computer in mind, right? So it worked great if you were sitting at your desk in front of your computer and your monitor, and it was easy to interact with the auctions or at least, usable. But if you tried to do that from your phone, it really wasn't a very good experience. And so we came into the space starting off by building mobile first. And that's a phrase that you hear kind of thrown around a lot right now, whether people are talking about websites or apps or marketing or any kinds of things that has to do with that. And the idea is not just the thought that something is usable on a mobile device, right? But right. that it's first thought to be used on a mobile device, because if you look at the statistics, you see that the majority of people do interact with the internet and with apps, and most of the time they spend buying things and reading things and communicating with people. The majority is actually on the mobile device. And especially with something that's time-sensitive like an auction, right? It doesn't matter whether it's a live auction or it's a timed auction. Time is important, right? It's not like something that you can just do whenever you want to. If it's a live auction, you have to bid at a certain time. If it's timed, it's going to close at a certain time, right? That may not be a time that you can be in front of your computer. So we thought, this doesn't make sense. This is the perfect thing that you should be able to do on your phone. And you shouldn't just be able to do it on your phone. You should first think about doing it on your phone. So we came in and built with that as our, that's how we started, right? So since then, there are some other companies, well most companies really that are still doing it, have adopted and have had the ability to do these kinds of things on your phone. But I think that we still have an advantage because when we started, we didn't have to rework something that already exists for desktop and then make it mobile. We just started off thinking about mobile. And so that's kind of what we did and what really set us apart in the industry when we were first introducing a product.
Well, that's interesting. I know I got into online auctioning, and it almost became addictive. It was like I was always looking for a good deal to bid on, and I'm sure it would make it a whole lot better because, like you said, you don't have to sit in front of your computer all the time, and you've got your phone with you, and that's pretty cool. Lou, have you got anything that you want to ask him?
Oh, yeah, I got a couple things.
Shoot.
So you sell this primarily to the auction companies, or is it a retail platform? Because I've done probably 30, 40 auctions with Rogers Realty and Auction. I think that's one of your clients.
They are, yes.
In Mount Airy, North Carolina. Dell Fulp and I, Dell and I are both accredited land consultants, and he actually has the CAI designation. So when I have clients that have property and we've tried every way to liquidate it, then sometimes we bring in what we call the auction advantage, which we can talk about later in the show. But traditionally, we just print out the flyers, put them on the websites, and, of course, there's many, many more websites, and now – included your organization, and quite frankly, the last auction we had, we actually had a buyer off of your site that was using your smartphone. So,
that's great.
Thank you for that.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. I mean, I'm not surprised, but I'm glad to hear it.
But it just adds another dimension, and a lot of people, they'll call you up and they say, "God, I can't be at the auction. Of course, how do I bid?" Or, they'll hire an agent like myself to represent them. And we'll register them, prior to the auction and bid for them, usually sure. on the phone and keeping them posted where we are. But, with this now, they can actually do it themselves, and the convenience of it, they can be on a sailboat or on the back of a horse, I guess, anywhere, as long as they got Wi-Fi and connect with you.
Yeah, we've had people win auctions from a plane. I think hopefully they weren't at the point they were supposed to have their phone off, but one of our customers said that He had a buyer that won while he was in a plane. It may have actually been a private plane, but he was up in the air, and he won a piece of real estate from on a plane.
And this is international as well, I'm sure. I mean, worldwide.
It is. I mean, yeah, the majority of our customers are in the United States right now, but we've done auctions in China, the Philippines, Canada, Puerto Rico, South Africa, Australia, and primarily English-speaking countries for now. But yeah, we do have clients all over the world.
That's pretty cool. It's come a long ways from the auction on the courthouse steps, hasn't it?
It has.
Give you a huge audience and lots of diversity and more potential for more money. It sounds great.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the addictive quality of auction.
Yeah.
And that's actually something that one of our customers mentioned when they moved over to our software, and they've been running software on kind of an older online auction platform, and they switched over to using our platform. And what he said is that his buyers find it addictive. And that kind of gets back to what I was talking about in our really the first conversation we had about, you know, having a backdrop in other industries or in art or in user experience or things. But the idea is auctions are already addictive, right? If you can take that and add to that the fact that the experience itself, right, the process of bidding in the auction, the process of you know, winning and reading about the auction, if you can add to that is also something that people like to do, it just adds to that already addictive property.
Yeah. Well, and you don't bid against yourself, I imagine, like you do at a live auction.
No. You know,
the man said,
"You don't want to bid against yourself."
He said, "Ma'am, you are bidding against yourself." And I went, "Oh, okay."
Right, and that's another thing. You know, some people, you know, you're always going to have auction buyers, and you're going to have people that really want to go to the live auction, right? For a number of reasons. Maybe they enjoy it. Maybe they're a professional buyer. Maybe this is their thing, right? But there are a lot of buyers that are going to have an experience similar to what you have. They're actually a little bit worried about going to a live auction. They'd frankly rather do it from their phone. Because you're right, they're not going to outbid themselves from their phone. They can look at it. They can see, you know, in the case of a signed auction, how much time is left. And it's an experience that they're more comfortable with, right?
Yeah,
and
I was so more comfortable.
I think so. And I think for a lot of auction companies, we try to remind them that, yeah, of course you're going to have your buyers that are always going to come to an auction, but you're going to open this up to a whole other group of people who, frankly, may not be a demographic that's, you know, automatically in love with auction. They're going to be more engaged if they can do it in a way that they're comfortable. And that's not everyone, but it doesn't take anything away from the people who really want to go and be there and participate in it. It just opens it up to a new group of people.
But you're seeing this more attracted to the younger generation, aren't you? The more people that are, you know, I'll be 70 in July, so, I mean, I use technology, but, you know, my three-year-old grandson, it's crazy. I mean, I don't know where all this stuff's going, but, you know, I think a lot of the industries are going to the internet and to apps and so on and feel more comfortable doing that. You know, some people, they come to auctions and they don't want to be seen. You know, or some people come to the auctions, they want to know who's there and who they're bidding against. So this actually probably creates a more level playing field, doesn't it?
I think it can. I mean, a lot of it depends on how the auction company wants to implement it.
Right.
And, you know, you mentioned it for something for younger buyers. And, you know, I heard an experience from another one of our customers. And now he's not selling real estate. This was particularly about a personal property sale. But, you know, we all thought, you know, yeah, younger customers are going to be the ones who, you know, like using this app and like bidding on the smartphone. But he talked about how he's got several older customers. They come into his shop for preview, right, to look at what he's got. Because he's got, he sets everything out and has a showroom where people can preview things. And they basically walk around the showroom with their iPad and place max bids or bids on items right while they're looking at them as a preview. And they love bidding that way. It's really not just younger people that like doing that. I think that you know, all groups of people, after they learn how to use it, it's a pretty simple process. And we see it really across all different age groups.
So we're talking to our buddy Josh Benish. This is Let's Talk Land. So you guys, do you customize your programs for, you know, like different, you have all kinds of auctions. It's not just land auctions or farm auctions or tchotchke, as I call them, personal property auctions. But, you know, there's government auctions, there's securities auctions, there's all kinds of different auctions. So you guys, do you guys custom your programs for your client specific?
So we're what's called a white label platform. And when you think about white label, the idea is that we have a platform, we have a product that, you know, has a blank label, and we put your label on it. So the idea is that we have the system for bidding, right? But when a company signs up with us, it's not like they put their auctions on BidWrangler. They hire us, and we use our platform to build them their own app. So like Rogers, for instance, you mentioned earlier.
Right.
If you want to bid on an auction for Rogers, you download the Rogers app, right? You don't download the BidWrangler app. You download the Rogers app. So The advantage for the company is really twofold. For one thing, there's the marketing and the branding aspect of it, right?
Right.
If someone downloads your app, it's there. It's on the bidder's phone. They see it. It creates this connection with them because people are looking at it and seeing your logo. And they're thinking of you, right? They probably have no idea it's BidWrangler. And that's what you want as a company. You want them to think that it's you. You know,
sure.
Rogers wants them to associate with Rogers, not with BidWrangler. And that makes sense for us. The other thing that you get as part of that that maybe even more important is that you really get to keep your data. So there's some auction sites, and there's good utility for them. They're just a different model than we are. But basically, everyone pools all their bidders together, right? So you put an auction up there, but it's both going in front of people that aren't your customer base, but when your customers go there, they also see possibly even competitors' auctions, right? So what we do is it's really your auctions on your app, and then you keep the data. Anyone who downloads your app and signs up for an account, you've got their information, which means you can, you know, send them a marketing email or contact them. Anytime they register for an auction, you see their registration, right? So you've got this information, and basically you're building your customer base. You're not building BidWrangler's customer base. You're building your customer base.
Right.
And so that helps you as you continue to market and serve your company. So kind of that brand awareness for the bidders because you, your company, and then knowing that you're not sharing your bidders with anybody else. You work hard to get that that group of people together. And if you, you know, wisely build that customer base, that's one of your absolute biggest assets to the company. And so you want to keep that. You don't want to give that to us or give that to other companies when you sign up with us. And we basically just set up that way. So that there's a way for you to maintain that information.
Interesting. So we're not keeping it on 3x5 index cards anymore or on our Excel spreadsheet.
No.
It's all right there. That's fascinating.
Right.
No wonder you guys are successful in what you're doing. You got something really great.
Sorry, say that once more.
I said no wonder you guys are so successful in what you're doing. You got something really great and something unique, I think, out there.
I think so. Yeah, the combination of that white label model and then, you know, being committed to making apps, to being mobile first, I think is something that really sets us apart.
One thing that I'm sitting here thinking is, do you register with BidWrangler or do you register with each different company, like Rogers or like whoever? I mean, that's the thing I'm trying to understand right now.
Yeah, that's a great question. So you register for each company. And if you think about it, there probably, for most people, aren't that many auction companies that they're interacting with, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, because most of it's local, right?
Right.
But yeah, you're going to register with each company. For one thing, that's how we keep that company information separate, so that, you know, if you register with one company, if the other one doesn't have it. And also different companies have different ways that they handle the registration process, right? And that's another thing that people often ask me when they're thinking about signing up for a platform is, well, how do I register my bidders? And there's this thought that people have, and I think I understand why they think about this, but I think it's kind of the wrong question. They have this thought that if they have an app that they're going to get, you know, all of these crazy people from, you know, I don't know, across the world trying to register and bid in their auction.
Right.
And frankly, that doesn't really happen. And again, it's because it's white label, right? So the people that are seeing your app and seeing what you're doing are largely the people that you're targeting in your Facebook marketing and in your print marketing and with your website. So it's not like it's getting, it's just unlikely that someone from across the world who has no connection to your company is really going to register. So, and then kind of getting back to my, the initial part of the question is, you know, how do you make sure they're real? Well, we have a variety of different ways that that we let people register. So you obviously have to accept the terms and conditions when you bid in an auction, just like you would, you know, in a live auction. And then you get their identifying information, and then you have an option of whether or not you want to take the credit card.
Right.
And you can capture a credit card, and obviously with land or real estate, you're not really going to charge anything on the credit card, but you can verify that they have a credit card in their name with, you know, X number of dollars of available credit, and just let them know that you're curious. You've got their credit card number now. They are a real person with a credit card. So some people use that. What we see more often in real estate, sometimes in combination with the credit card, but a lot of times it's done with manual approval. And what that means is someone wants to register, and they go through and fill out the form, and then you just get an email in your inbox that says, John Smith wants to register for your auction. You know, here's his contact info. You should call him. And then ideally the auction company will call them and either, you know, get a cashier's check or a bank letter of credit or whatever kind of information. Then you talk to them, make sure that they really understand the terms and conditions, really go through a lot of the process that you'd go through if they were coming to the live auction, right? But you're allowing them to do that and then kind of freeing them up from the requirement of being at that location at a particular day or time. So there's a lot of different ways you can handle the registration. And people often ask about that, but I think I usually, you know, if they ask me that, I just say, well, you know, A, how do you handle it now without Bid Wrangler? And B, you know, how do you want to let someone bid your auction? You know, it's up to you. You can choose whatever steps you want. In order to let them bid, and it also, of course, it varies a lot by the kind of, you know, asset that you're selling.
Right.
Someone with a personal property auction isn't going to go through the same, the same steps as someone who's selling, you know, $5 billion parcel of land. Obviously, going to be a different process.
It's going to create brand loyalty too, because if you've got that app on your phone, then that's the one you're going to be using. You're not you may not even look at others or who don't have the same platform.
That's right. And you can also send out our platform across the board uses push notifications, which are, you know, like when, I mean, we see these on our phones all the time. It's like when you get, it's not a text message, but it pops up on your lock screen, you know, a notification from an app like Facebook or your news app or something like that, and it pops up on the front. We use those. They're really great in timed auctions. And we actually do see a lot of people doing time real estate auctions. And it just, you know, if you get outbid, it just pops up on your home screen, and you can look at it and tap it, and it takes you right back onto that property so that you can keep bidding. So you don't have to check your email. You don't have to wait. You don't have to refresh the page. It's right there in front of your bidder's eyes. But speaking of brand loyalty, the other thing that we let you do that's great is send marketing notifications. And what that does is anyone who's downloaded your app and has enabled the notifications, you know, like we do for most apps that we download, you can schedule a notification and tell them something like, hey, we have a new property. And just like you would for any other app, it pops up on their lock screen with your logo, you know, new auction in Pilot Mountain, you know, preview Saturday at 11, you know. And that's a great way also to build that brand loyalty, to use that as just a really quick way to get what you're saying in front of your bidder. You know, if you send an email, they have to see it and open it and hope it doesn't go to spam, right? But mm-hmm. Notifications, it's just, they're so short, and it's just highly likely that the person will at least get eyes on it.
Wow. I'm trying to visualize all this. It's pretty exciting. So during the auction, let's use a live auction, for example, and I'm using the Rogers app, which is your product,
sure.
And I'm bidding, but I'm not there. But as the bid proceeds, you know, 10,000, 10,000, 11,000, 11,000, whatever it's going up to, okay, as a bidder bids up, then there's a notification that comes on my screen. So now I can instantly go to it and continue that bid, I guess, right?
Yeah, so in a live auction, because it's happening, at least in a live real estate auction, you know, unless you're talking a ballroom or something like that, generally it happens in a shorter amount of time. So most people who are really interested, they're at least going to have the app open, and basically their bid button just will, you know, continue to change according to whatever the auctioneer is asking for. But what they're asking is reflected in the bid button. And so you don't get a notification every time the app changes, because that would be annoying. You wouldn't want their phone to just blow up. They could look at it. Now, if they get outbid, right, so let's say they place a bid and then they put their phone away and they get someone else outbid them, then they get a notification. And again, that's most helpful in timed auctions, because you may place a bid and it might be an hour until someone outbids you, right? And so the notification is really great if you're running a timed auction, because you don't have to count on people to check. You basically just go right to the lock screen of their phone and let them know that they've been outbid.
Gotcha. So you also promote future auctions too through the system. So if there's we've got an auction coming up May the 2nd, I believe it is, in Virginia, a couple hundred acres that Roger's okay. doing. So whoever's on that list, profile list, and they do profile their buyers based mm-hmm. on, some people like to buy, you know, estate items, cars, guns, coins, and then some people like land, and some people like motor vehicles. I know they do the rolling stock for Charlotte, Mecklenburg County, twice a year, where they liquidate trucks and garbage trucks and Jeeps and whatever they got down there. So they have certain buyers that are looking for certain products. So when they do an auction, you know, manually, what they've done for years is they go and they may have 60,000 names on their auction list, but only 2,000 of them would be interested in this particular stuff that they're auctioning off, maybe China dolls or a collection of coins or something like that. So they're able to notify. So you help them through that process, I guess, as well, right?
We do. With what we're doing with BidWrangler, it would largely be, you know, the push notifications that they send, if it's a marketing notification, would generally go to everyone who has the app. But in their case, we also built their website, and we build websites for a lot of clients, and we can help them through using the information on their website to build those lists and to be able to use that information to build targeted marketing. Of course, you could always also check the information from your bidding platform, because you have access to that, to download all of your registrations, and you could categorize them and look at what types of properties different people were registering for, and build lists that way as well.
This is truly targeted marketing, too. That's awesome. That is huge.
Yeah.
So with about 1 minute in this section, we've what's this mobile clerking?
Well, and the short of it is you can actually clerk live auctions from your mobile phone if you'd like to, if you have a place where you don't want to take a laptop. You know, in order to do a live auction, although I'd love it if you could set up a microphone and the software were actually smart enough to listen to the auctioneer and
right.
change the app, that would be great.
Cool.
We aren't quite there yet. So someone has to be responsible for telling the software basically what the current bid is and what the ask is. And you can do that right from your mobile phone if you'd like.
And these are for Androids and for Apple, right?
That's right, for Android and for Apple. And also, if anyone for whatever reason doesn't want to use it on their phone, they can, you know, use a web browser on their computer. You can send them a link there as well.
We're talking to our good friend Josh Benush, and this is Let's Talk Land. So, Josh, you got a very interesting company. Tell me about some of your staff people and some of the things we talked about a little bit, but it's kind of interesting. You've got such an array. How many people work there?
14.
14. You don't outsource, do you?
Well, not in the traditional way that you think about it. We do have a couple developers who work with us who are overseas, but they spend some time with us during the year. Come over here, but the majority of our team is here in our office.
And how do you get your customers? What's your marketing platform?
Sure. So the reality is that most of our customers come to us by word of mouth. When we very first started, we spent a lot of time listening to auctioneers. So Tim and Andy, our two founders, basically went to the National Auctioneers Association convention. And this was before my time, but I don't even know if we had a, I don't think we had a product yet. I think they just talked with us, and spent a lot of time listening to what auctioneers were looking for, what they liked, what they were disappointed with in their current solution, and what they were excited about. And so we basically, instead of building this thing in a vacuum, we listened and we talked with people from the very beginning. And because of that, we built relationships with our first customers. And that group of people has grown. So, you know, when we go to the NAA convention or something like that, we always see people walking around wearing good Wrangler hats. So we have people who we always look forward to, you know, going out and having dinner with or just spending time with them. And I think that when people see that, it makes them want to be a part of that, kind of be a part of that community of people who are using Bid Wrangler. And we just try to treat our customers really well. And people tend to be happy with what we do and with the way that we treat them. And I think, as with any business, if you treat your customers that way, word gets around. It's really the most powerful marketing that you can do.
Absolutely.
I mean, that being said, you know, sometimes we'll do email marketing campaigns, or we had a fun auction when we released some new features for the bidding platform where we let people bid in an auction, and basically whoever won ended up, you know, getting a prize or things like that. But we go to a lot of the state conventions, and again, just spend time listening to auctioneers and meeting new people. But honestly, for the most part, that has brought us in customers pretty quickly. And we're proud of that. We're proud of the fact that the work we do and the relationships we build with people really does a lot of that work for us.
Do you have any idea how many people, how many, and I wouldn't even know, I don't even know where I'm going with this. I don't know if I'm, because I'm trying to wrap my head around all of it, but how many clients that you have, or how many clients that your clients have with the potential to reach this type of audience? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. That's a great question. Yeah, I'm calling my computer here. I might be able to tell you how many clients our clients have pretty close here. In fact, I'm going to see if I can do that while I'm talking to you. I know that we have about 230 clients, and those would be individual auction something.
Are they all over the United States or just on the East Coast?
They're all over the world.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we have a lot on the East Coast. You know, as you guys know, Virginia, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, that's Michigan, that whole area, and then up into the Midwest, you know, there are a lot of auctions in that area. So we do have a lot of customers that are close to us geographically, but we really do have them all over the world. So Hawaii, Australia, South Africa. That's how many companies we have. And it looks like if we look at how many bidders those clients have, looks like at least 400,000.
Wow.
So
hopefully they're not all bidding at the same
time. Well, it's funny because I'm sitting here thinking, I used to work for a newspaper, and our big thing was our, you know, how many readers that we had, and that's the way we sold it, and the value was based on how many readers that we have. But that is phenomenal. Like, is it $1 million to do what you do? How do you charge? How do people pay? I mean, your client.
Oh, that's a good question. So our clients, when a company wants their own app, first, you know, we listen to what they need and make sure that it's a good fit. And then there's usually a one-time just build fee, you know, just to, you know, cover the cost of our developer time to, you know, get their, you know, make sure their graphics work for an app and get their branding right and, you know, create the developer accounts and build it and train them and do all that kind of work. And then we operate as a, the short name for what we call it is a SaaS model, so software as a service. And what that means is in most cases, we have a monthly fee that we charge based on the number of auctions that you've run. That's also attractive to people because we don't take a percentage.
Wow.
Right? So we build a tool, and we just charge you a flat monthly fee, and it usually starts at, $300 a month. It's kind of our entry level cost, and then if you obviously that scales depending on how many auctions you do. And so we just have that flat cost, and a lot of real estate companies like that too, because it's fee that you can often really easily pass on to your seller as part of the marketing cost, and it's predictable, right? So you don't pay us more if the auction is successful and you make more. You just have that fixed cost, and people like that a lot.
Wow. So there again, we're talking about the value of what this product gives the client. That's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, it is.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
Origin of the name, Ben Wrangler.
I wish I had a better answer to that. The name was actually already here when I started, and I don't think I've ever asked that question.
Well, we'll have you back on another show, and you can answer that one, okay?
That's right. I just say, Ben like in an Austin, and Wrangler like the jeans.
Right.
I guess.
That's a great question.
The phone fits in your Wrangler jeans.
Well, wrangling. I mean, you talk about wrangling cattle,
right,
and pulling things in. So that makes sense to me. Bid Wrangler.
Yeah.
It's a good way to remember it.
One of our early kind of catchphrases was never miss a bidder. So there is the idea that wherever someone is, we can get that bid.
Right.
We can wrangle in that bid.
Right.
And I kind of assume that's the idea. And of course, you also have all those other great questions when you name a company. Does anyone else have a name that's anything like this? And this is, it made sense, and it talks about what we do. And people don't get us confused with anyone else, so that's good.
So, what is your website?
Our website is just bidwrangler.com. Yes, bid like Austin, Wrangler like the jeans, bidwrangler.com. And if you go there, you can, read more about what we do, see some examples of websites that we've built, read about the features of our bidding platform. There's a form in there where you can sign up. And if you do, we'll just reach out to you to figure out what you need. So if you sign up on that form, there's a good chance that we'll be talking in person. There's a big button on the top that says get started. And you just, send us your information, and we'll reach out and figure out what you need.
If you go to Bid Wrangler, can you get to the clients from Bid Wrangler? Like, if you don't know who a client is, but you just know of a product that you're looking for, can you go through Bid Wrangler to search somehow?
I mean, if you go to our client page, we have a list of some of our clients and testimonials from a few of them and links to their website. So it's not, it is not by any means an exhaustive list.
Okay.
But it's a good place to kind of get started and see a little bit of what we do and reach out to a few of our clients. And you could certainly get there to other websites. We don't have a directory of all of, the Bid Wrangler customers.
Right.
Partially because we're white labeled, and I don't want people to feel like they're linked together in the way that they would with a model that's more like a bidding community. They want to have their autonomy and to be able to present their brand and market the way they want to. But some of them very kindly have volunteered to be on our website and volunteered to kind of be spokespeople for us. So we're really thankful to have them there.
Once you get to a client's site, can you preview the items that are going to be auctioned?
Sure. Yeah, you can catalog the auction or look at the parcels of land.
So you can do some due diligence. Actually, you can take time to research some of this stuff in advance.
For sure. Yeah, and so for a lot of our clients, we built their website as well. We have a way for you to download documents about a property and view it on a map you know, yeah, basically do a lot of your due diligence right there, and at least get the information that you need, you know, if you need to go elsewhere to do more research. But that information is all available.
Okay.
Are you using any of the artificial intelligence technology in your product?
Not in a strict sense of the word. Like I mentioned, you know, it's really an interesting idea to me to know if we could ever make it so that basically the software could listen to an auctioneer and close itself. Maybe sometime down the road we'll start experimenting with that. But I wouldn't say artificial intelligence per se. And especially just because there is that you know, that human aspect that still matters, especially in a live auction, in terms of being able to have a clerk accept or an auctioneer accept the bid. Yeah, it's something we like to think about. We just haven't really dug into it too much, and something that I think we'll see down the road.
Well, I guess a lot of that comes from what the clients need.
That's right.
Is there some unique examples of stuff you've been asked to do that's and had to develop that?
So I'll talk a little bit about kind of how we think about custom work and what we do in general.
Okay.
So like we were talking about, we're a platform, we're a white label platform. So 95% of cases, our clients have the same feature set available to all of them. So like if we build something for one client, in most cases, unless it's a very specialized thing and we have kind of a unique relationship or situation with the customer, in most cases, it becomes available to everybody. And so when we make a change in the code for one of our customers, we have to do it in a way that it works for everybody, right? So if someone wants a new feature, we have to make sure that when we build it, you know, it doesn't break it for someone else.
Right.
Or it doesn't make things work not as well for someone else. And that's how we're able to offer what we do and offer it at the value that we do, is because basically we're kind of pooling those resources together into one platform. So sometimes people will have custom requests. And like I said, I think the reason that we are as good as we are, what we do, is that we listen to people. And so the first thing is if someone requests something, that I try to think through is, you know, is this something that's going to be beneficial to everybody? And if it's beneficial to everybody, well, then it's a no-brainer. This is great, you know, company wants it, just make our platform better, let's, you know, get it in the backlog and do it. If it's something that just one particular company needs, I'll try really hard to come up with a way to solve it with what we've already built. Because in most cases, we can't, because we have been listening, right? So, because that works out better for them, because they don't have to wait for us to build it, pay us to build it.
Plus, it's cost-effective, too, I would say.
Right. I mean, it works out best for everybody. You know, our company's kind of based on the idea of, you know, a platform that you can subscribe to. We're not based on the idea of, you know, getting paid for custom work. You know, that's not how we're set up. We like the idea of being able to work together to bring something great for everybody. That being said, there have been situations where, you know, we've done things specifically for companies. And we've had this kind of custom relationships with them, you know, built them ways for their applications to talk to our application or some specialized things that they needed. One thing that we did, you know, there's lots of things that we built for people that have ended up being really great elements of our platform. One of our customers was running a lot of time with real estate auctions, and they wanted a way to be able to cut the bidding commitment in real time. You know, when you're at a live auction, you know, somebody, you know, can I get 225? I can't do the champ like an auctioneer can.
Right. No,
so, yeah,
I can't either.
You know, 225. Can I get 225? And then they can't get
it. That's pretty good.
They'll drop and say, can I get 210? You know, or can I get 220? You know, they'll cut the increment, right, to get those last few bids in.
Right.
And the trick sometimes with the timed auction has been that, you know, you set it up, you know, someone bids 205. And it's asking 210, and then it's asking 215, and you could tell it to go in $5,000 increments, and you could even set up a schedule that says, you know, until we get to $200,000, go in $10,000 increments, after we get over that, you're on $5,000. But it's doing it automatically, right?
Right.
And what one of our customers wanted was the ability to go in and override that interest. So let's say if you're selling something that's subject to seller confirmation, you know, you're at, you know, 220S and 230. And you know, you're in a situation where you want to be able to do what you would do in a live auction, which is ask 225. Maybe someone out there wants it for 225, right? And you didn't realize it at first, but now you're thinking, you know, I think I can get five thousand more. So you can go in and you can cut their bid increment just like you would do in a live auction, and you can do that in real time. So it lets you basically run a timed auction the same way that you would run a live auction. So that's something that people really like.
Do they give? Obviously, they give you their reserve, right? That's part of it that you built in there, or is that left up to the auctioneer to declare
well,
that?
Well, I mean, all of it's left up to the auctioneer in terms of how they want to handle it. You know, is it an absolute auction? And in an absolute auction, you know, it's going to sell at whatever the final price is. You know, it's legally obligated to sell.
It's going to be sold this day, right?
That's right.
Today it will be sold, no matter what the price.
That's right. But if they have a reserve, we, of course, have technology that lets you put in a reserve price. And then we have another great feature called manual close, which is kind of like reserve plus, that if someone runs a timed auction, the software doesn't mark it as sold or not sold until the clerk goes in and marks it as such. And so for certain sales that are like subject to seller confirmation, you know, you don't want to get the clock down to zero and then have a big sold label come on the property. Because right. The reality is, you know, yeah. It's subject to confirmation. And, you know, the company's already told the bidders this. They put it in their terms and conditions and explained it to them. So, you know, it's very clear that that's what's going to happen. But that way, it's clear to your bidders, too. So that when they see that sold, they know it really is. You know, you don't want to call someone after they see sold on their computer screen and their name next to it and then tell them, actually, it's not. That's not a good thing to do.
Yeah,
we tried to build the technology to let you do those custom things. And I think that was probably something else that a customer requested, right? So these are things that we've built, and it's benefited everybody. So we did a core values project at the company recently, kind of talked through what's important to us, and, you know, as we continue to grow, to really identify those things. Because it's easy when you're small, because it's just a few of you, and those values just kind of happen. But as you grow, you want to make sure that you're all working together and on the same page, and that you want to keep those values going. So one of ours is something along the lines of, you know, treat customers as teammates.
Right.
Right? So we're working with them. Their success is our success, and vice versa. So, you know, if you sign up with BidWrangler, you're really part of the BidWrangler team. We're going to work with you to make a great product, and we're going to listen to you, and we're going to try to give you the best value and customer service that we have.
Yeah. With that said, you know, right now we're speaking to a lot of people, and, you know, we're speaking to people who are potentially your clients, but we're also speaking to people that are the client's clients.
Right.
So why would someone contact an auctioneer to do an auction as opposed to just selling something? What are the advantages?
So two things that I can think of. For one thing, you can establish a time in which it's going to sell. And sometimes that's really important. And I'll put a disclaimer that I'm actually not an auctioneer. So
right.
I'm saying things that I've heard from auctioneers and from our clients.
I'm sure you've heard a lot.
Yeah, but a lot of times it is just, you know, the property needs to sell at in a particular time frame. The other thing is just that the auction method works. It's a fantastic way of bringing the value of a property, right? It's mm-hmm. a way of establishing and getting the actual value of a property in a given amount of time. And I think the bottom line is it just works.
Right.
And people see that time after time. So there's this thought that people have sometimes that, auctions are for distressed properties and things like that. And that's just not true. We see people choosing, you know, the auction method because it's a great way to sell. And for a number of different reasons.
Like the family can't come together.
I'll say John Nichols was one of our first customers. And he does a lot of real estate auctions in Virginia, and he has a great series of videos that he's made actually on his website called Auction Myths versus Facts.
Yeah.
And actually, if anyone is interested in learning more of why you would sell at auction and thinking about that, I'd actually probably point you to his website to listen to the way he's explained it. He does a great job.
Yeah.
Has some really good thoughts about it there.
Yeah, I saw his name, I think, on your website when I was looking at it. Would I have seen it there?
Yes, you would have. He's been with us since almost the very beginning.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He's given us a lot of great insights and support and encouragement and thoughts as we've gone through the process. And he's one of the very first ones to start doing that. He's, you know, just over the mountain from us here. And
right.
So we run into him fairly often.
So if a family is doing an estate sale and the family, well, the family can't come together on who wants to get what, and they determine that they want to auction it, that's one way for the family to not argue.
To resolve the problem?
Yeah.
Or
resolving
maybe create
a problem. Hope not. But that's
sure.
I know that's one thing. Estate sales seems to be a big one, and it creates, I think it keeps families happy.
Yeah, because, and also they don't have to worry about either selling or moving what's there, right? They
right.
can basically hire someone who can get it sold, right? The bottom line is it needs to be sold.
Right.
And that's the best way to do that and bring what it's actually worth.
We know one of the things that we tell people that, you know, when you list a property, you know, say 100 acres of land for 3,000 acres, a 3,000 an acre, but, you know, you put a price out there. You're usually not going to get more than that. But when you have an auction, there's no price. It's whatever it brings that day. And a lot of times, in my experience, it usually brings a whole lot more. If you have two more people bidding that want the property, you're going to have a successful, you know, auction generally. So, there's a lot of reasons to. It's quicker. Usually, you know, you're looking at probably 60 days to market and 30 days to close. It's sold as is. The buyer's responsible for any due diligence and inspections and so on. From the perspective of a real estate agent having to go through all the disclosures and inspections and stuff with the buyer, you know, the onus is on the buyer at an auction. So that's another advantage of it too. And, you know, of course there's a deposit that's made, and if they don't follow through the deposit, they lose it. So usually it's, sometimes 10% of the purchase price, and that varies depending on the auction structure.
Okay.
But what else you want to tell us today?
Well, let's see here. So you had asked a little bit about our team, and I guess, kind of how we operate and how we build things. So one of the things that I really enjoy the most about working for BidWrangler and about kind of the company and the culture that we have is that it's a really fun place to work, and everybody's always working.
Can you bring your doggy?
You can. In fact, there is an Irish wolfhound.
Shanna.
Tim's allowed to bring his dog. Since it's an Irish wolfhound, I don't think we're going to have other dogs.
Right.
But Tim can bring his dog. So we do have a dog. And the other thing is, it's one of those things where also, you know, we all go into the office day for the most part. But, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of times, you know, if I'm not doing something else, you know, open up the computer and see what's going on and do work and collaborate with people. And the way I guess we think of work and life is that you have a lot of flexibility in terms of, you know, when and how you work within reason. But also there's this kind of feeling that, in a sense, everyone's always thinking about work. So we had a client in town a few weeks ago, and I guess we had dinner with them, and we went out to grab, to grab a beer, you know, across the street from our office, actually. And we're just hanging out there, talking with him and hearing about his company. And we saw one of our developers just walk by, you know. We just said, hey, come on in. And he comes in. He doesn't know we're meeting with the client. The first thing he does, you know, it's like 9:30 on a Monday night. You know, he sees that our CTO is there. And so he comes in and grabs a beer, and he just opens his laptop and starts asking questions about what he's been working on. You know, it's 9:30 on a Monday. And he's just thinking about it. And we happen to be out there having a beer. And the first thing we're talking about is, oh, you know, how am I going to solve this problem? Do you have any thoughts? And I think working at a place like that where people really care about what they're doing.
Absolutely. Not 9 to 5.
And enjoy it. Right? Right. It's not like at 5 o'clock everyone just stops.
Okay. I'm going to cut us off because we just got a few minutes. Just real quick, just a couple of things you want to leave the listening audience with and give us your commercial.
Okay. So I guess you would ask me about 3 things that are most important to us as a company.
Yeah, very quick, please.
So we listen to our customers. We innovate. We need to build new things. And we treat our customers as teammates. So I think we talked about those all a little bit before, but I'd say those are the 3 things that I would want to leave people with about our company.
Perfect. So how do they get in touch with you, Josh?
Bidwrangler.com. Click on the form or the button on the top that says get started, and send us your name and your info, and we will be in touch with you, and we can hear about what you're looking for and what you need.
Perfect. This has been a great subject today, and I wish you all the best. I think you're the best out there. I did a little research of some of the other organizations. There's some good ones out there too, but your attitude clearly comes through on the show, and I know you speak for all the people in your company, and wish you all the best,
you.
And we'll help network you out there. And
thank you for having us on the show.
Yeah, totally.
We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Let us know how you like the show. If you have any guests or topics you'd like to suggest, we would appreciate them. All questions are welcomed, and all of our guests may be emailed. Your email I'll put on our website, not your phone number, but I'll put your email on there so people can contact you, Josh. Any questions or concerns you may have, the show's for the public and most importantly for real estate agents who do not have a source for land education. All shows are downloaded after the broadcast on Saturday on www.letstalkland.net. No apostrophe, letstalkland.net. You can also find it on Podbean, Spotify, Facebook, YouTube, and more. My email is lou@mylandpro.com. My cell number is 336-669-1405. Rodney, how they get to us with the station?
Well,
turn it on.
Well. There. There we go. You might have to tell them this week. Please.
Oh, my gosh. They can go to the website, WKTE.com, and we're on Simple Radio apps. You can download the radio station anywhere, listen to it anywhere in the country. And what else? We're Beach and Oldie radio show, number 5 years in a row with awards. And we want you to come back next week. Teresa, thank you for being here. Shada, thank you for sleeping through this show. And we'll see you next week.